post-midterm honey, you're ruining our kid from the Irishman Abroad podcast network with me, Charlotte Regan, the comedian, and Tina, who is the one with the knowledge.
Yeah, I
hope 20 years of experience working with the most severe and profound behavioural issues you can imagine. So whatever you send in to us, Tina will have seen it and worse. So yes, there's no worries there. And we saw some stuff.
We did. And of course, in keeping with this podcast, we were not quick to make any judgments.
No judgment. This is the zero judgment parenting podcast.
But there was a few times where I really wanted to go over and just go, guys, I can make your life so much easier right now if you just do this one thing. And the place I found that the most was on the plane home.
Oh my
yesterday.
Gosh. We had a crier.
We had, I mean, babies cry. That is no problem.
Live with it.
We all get that. Like, you know, and some days babies have bad days and, you know, they're teething and, you know, they're hard to reach. But like these parents yesterday, they seemed like a really cute, lovely young couple with a young family.
Yeah, but they had surrendered to the crying on a level that I've never seen.
They were so obviously so used to the crying that they weren't doing
anything. They were just
sitting
there like the radio was on.
I was like, okay, guys, you're you're on a plane.
It was crazy.
Like at one point, the air hostess said, the people who are playing their movie really loudly need to put on headphones. And I was like, no, that's all they've got.
Because that's all that was keeping the kid from crying.
The minute the movie went off, oh my God, the screaming began again. And I mean, I haven't heard screaming like that in quite a while.
But I was at the gate as well.
Yeah.
And I was like watching this going, is this their kid? Because they weren't even...
Yeah, it didn't even seem like they knew how to distract the kid. Yeah. Like on the
what
air...
would you do there? So people are planning their, booking their summer holidays in, probably because I'm so shy at booking things, they probably already have that done.
Me and Jared keep diagnosing ourselves with ADHD.
Well, I'm not diagnosing myself. Don't include me in this.
I keep doing it.
You do.
Every time there's something about me.
TikTok diagnosis
for
Tina.
I'm like, maybe I have ADHD. Maybe I do.
Quite a few things. There's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Listen, if you're on a plane,
yes,
or you're taking a kid away on a plane and they're a crier, what's your advice?
Well, we traveled so much when Mikey was a baby because we were living in England and I was very homesick and I was coming home whenever I could. And I can't remember which of the moms, but this is why a mom network is so important, was like, just make sure you have something for them to either suck or drink the whole time on the plane because their little ears are going to be affected, especially if they're teething. And this little girl definitely seemed like a teether yesterday. And what it does is if they have something to suck or drink, they're not having those times where they're in pain and they don't know what's happening. Like yesterday, I really struggle with my ears on the plane, as Charlotte well knows because I complain about it all the time. But I knew...
No comment.
I knew the screaming was worse at certain moments because I was like, yeah, my ears are hurting. Of course that baby's ears are hurting. But like even just a lollipop, I mean, it would have kept her going. It would have helped her. I just was flabbergasted at the lack of... They had no toys with them.
Nothing.
They had
no
books.
No toys or books is a flipping
they
odd
didn't
choice.
Talk to the kid and they seem like lovely
distraction
people.
Distraction is the key. But at the same time, we also know people who have done transatlantic flights where the child just does not interested in any of it.
Yes, that's
they nearly
true.
Had to turn the plane around on this couple we knew.
Yeah, no, that is not an exaggeration. They nearly landed the plane. Now, this kid yesterday wasn't as bad as that kid. But like, I just felt sorry for the kid because I was like, you know, at one point, the tiny little brother, who was tiny, he kind of seemed to have had a brainwave to maybe interact with the kid. And it did work because they were right behind me. But I was dying to get involved. I was dying to be like, here, throw over to me.
You never would, though.
I would have loved it. Like, I would have been in my happy place. That would have been my happiest journey ever. But I just, you know, you need a plan. You need to bring little toys, little activities they can do on the plane. Mm. You need that. That is a must.
And some Dozol.
No, we saw that too another time. Oh my God, we saw kids so dosed up.
Getting chloroformed on a plane.
God, that was disturbing.
See, Dina picks up on different things to me when we're on these midterm breaks or we're doing these tour shows. We was in Leicester Square Theatre for four nights.
We was in
Leicester Square Theatre for 4 nights last week. And it
sold
was
out. 4 sold-out nights. Thank you very much. My JLo is killing it. I'm so proud.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He's actually blushing.
It was a lot. The week was a lot. And I know that it's a lot for the two of ye because, you know, I'm used to it. I've been doing years and years of touring and gigging in much smaller venues. And you do develop a resistance to it. So I'm out doing my runs while these two are recovering at the Airbnb.
Yeah.
And honest to God, some of the midterm stuff I overheard.
Yeah.
Like people who just aren't getting to spend time with their kids. Like, we're all working so hard.
Yes. They get a week together. That is something that's alarmingly obvious.
Yeah, and they're like, they're interacting with their kids like they're co-workers.
Yeah.
Why are you shouting? What are you shouting for? It's like the kids four.
But they're also so stressed out.
Shout like that.
Yeah, because they're so aware. They've got this little window of time and they don't want to spend it parenting.
Mm.
But like, it's very tough. You
These
heard
kids
some
were up
crazy
a tree
stuff.
In Hyde Park and one kid was going up behind him going, "No!" He's chasing him up the tree and the dad is roaring at him to stop shouting. He's making more noise than the kid.
Hilarious.
And then at the one that really stood out though, and like I have multiple ones of these, like the things, the conversations you're overhearing, but this dad is trying to get a picture of his kid in front of this Chinese arch at Chinatown. Tobe, come on. I don't know why they were all from the north of England, but Tobe, let me get one photo of you in front of the arch. No, don't want to. Come on, Toby, just one photo. He's obviously photoed out. Or the kid is just one of those kids that won't get in photos. And he covers his head with his hood. And the dad, you know, clicks his phone shut. And as I'm going by, I can hear him say, "You bastard."
I always find the photo thing hilarious because we're so consciously photographing and documenting our children's lives. Most kids are over it. And you're trying to capture a beautiful moment, but we're ruining all these beautiful moments with our expectations for the photo.
A lot of the time. But if they just let you take the photo discreetly, it wouldn't be an issue. And also, they're going to be the best documented kids ever. They're going to have amazing montages of their childhood that'll be put together by the AI on their phone.
Yeah.
Make a montage of the first 25 years of my life, all photographed by your adoring parents.
Yeah.
And set it to the music of Coldplay. Of Kendrick Lamar, sorry.
21st birthday invitations will have to come with a warning, 1 hour video to be shown before the party really kicks off.
Oh, but I just think that they're just going to be done with all of it. I think that the vanity of social media is going to reach a tipping point where it'll be seen as really gauche to have your pictures and stuff. But who knows? People love themselves. Maybe these kids will grow to love themselves too.
I don't know.
If we don't over-photograph them. We've got three questions for you, as always, submitted by our listeners anonymously. Tina's got the answers for you. And we've got a big chunk extra over on Patreon, as always, each
And
week.
We have, to full disclosure, we have a little bit of announcement about the pot.
Yeah, later on in the show, we'll talk a little bit about what you're going through, we're going through.
Yeah.
Completely frazzled, spread too thin, something's got to give. So we're going to talk about the future of the podcast and what we're going to do for the rest of 2025. So stick around, we've got three great questions coming. I wouldn't eat. I would eat anything when I was a kid. Like these emails are coming in. This next one's coming up is about kids eating. And I mean, I was a dustbin because I was literally just give me some food.
Yeah, but that's very unusual, I think, for you, because your mother was making exotic dishes.
But when I went to other people's houses, I would eat nothing. I remember being sent to our next door neighbor's house to stay for a week or two while my parents went to the Canaries.
The rest of the kids and just left
they
you
brought
behind.
The others, and I was to stay with the neighbors. Because apparently I really liked school. was me and my two sisters, and my brother got to stay at his best friend's house, which clearly was the best, sweetest deal ever. But we're staying at our next door neighbor's, and I wouldn't eat anything. Like, I was not eating a thing. I can remember they put spaghetti down, and I liked spaghetti. But this shit, this was not the shit my mama made. And I remember not eating it, right? And I can remember the mom of the house going, "Your mother told us you like spaghetti." And I was like, "Not this spaghetti." And my sisters were so embarrassed. They were like, I can remember them through gritted teeth as this mother left the room. And as she walked back into the room,
oh no,
6-year-old me went, "It's disgusting." And she heard me.
No.
She heard me.
No.
It's funny the way you could be embarrassed as a 6-year-old.
Yeah, and also what was disgusting wasn't the food. You were just missing your mom, you know, and the comfort of this.
I don't know about that. Hey, Tina and Jar, love the podcast. Thank you so much for all of your hard work. And this is such a fascinating listener, and I feel way less alone as a parent. Well, that's the aim, isn't it? I have a 22-month-old daughter who is the best crack. She's just starting to get to the age now that when she is told no, if something's not allowed, or more importantly, not safe, she just starts thrashing and screaming, usually repeating whatever it is she wants to do. Door open, coat off. Get out of car seat, etc. I usually try to distract her.
But
it feels like that's getting harder now. Also, have tried letting her thrash it out, then offering her a hug when she's done. I hate having to force her to do anything. It just seems wrong to overpower her. Though sometimes I have to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
As long as you're not hurting her. I mean, you're in charge.
Yeah, got to get you into the buggy, as this mom says. Got to get you into the car seat.
We've all rugby-balled our kids home from a park. We've all done that.
What is the best way to handle this is her question. I'd also love if you could recommend some reading material around the boundaries and the discipline for toddlers. So the introduction I gave to this question was incorrect.
Yeah,
this is not about eating.
And I didn't interrupt you.
But you know,
I could see
you thinking about it.
Oh,
I could see you going, do I?
Because I was like, don't interrupt
me. This is the question that you teed up. But
listeners can't tell, we've spent way too much time together this week.
So tired from listening to you.
We have been living in London together with our kid. In an apartment that was actually gorgeous, but not as big as photographed. And we're just been a little bit on top of each other.
And why would this be evidence of that?
I don't know. Because
I thought we handled that well. I am teeing up the next question.
Okay.
But this isn't totally unrelated. This is a situation
it's
where...
It's a battle of wills.
You need your kid to do something. If it's eating,
yeah.
A lot of the time when they won't eat, the food will go on the floor. Mm. Or they can generate a situation where, and I would imagine that she hasn't even mentioned the eating. It's probably another part of this.
Yeah.
I don't want this.
I just...
It's like me and the disgusting spaghetti.
Yeah, it's just such a... I find these questions particularly hard because for me...
It's adorable.
I just love a spirited girl like that. I love it. And it's just, you know, what it is treading the needle of, you know, keeping their spirit... But also not allowing them to develop behaviours. I mean, your child can't shout at you. It's not okay. But it's great that they have it inside them where they have the confidence to do it.
Yeah, you can't say to your kid, "Are you shouting at me?
Yeah,
are you shouting at me in my own home?" I beg your pardon?
This little girl feels very safe because she feels safe enough to assert herself. And it's lovely. She feels loved. It's very hard as a parent, though, to go, "Oh, great, my kid feels loved. I'm delighted they're treating me like this." Yeah. But,
Little shouty.
She mentioned reading there, and look, the Maria Montessori books are a really hard read because they were translated terribly from Italian to English. But any Maria Montessori book you can get your hands on for this age will just open your eyes to a whole new world, and you will leave that book understanding exactly why toddlers
do this,
behave this way. You know, they have their own internal order going on. They have their own sense of the world. Mm. And they really, really are struggling with that order, you know.
Yeah, they're trying to assert their order over yours.
Yeah, and they everything makes sense in a certain way to them right now. And it's very black and white. And sorry, the cat's in the office, and it's really making me feel the heebie-jeebies.
The cat's a great asset to the podcast. Very calming. And I know that, you know, the cat doesn't seem related to this story, but, you know, she says she's tried distraction. Would I be right in saying distraction is foolproof, but you've just got to find the right one? That if her distractions aren't working, she needs to think of better ones to distract this kid.
Well, I always think, and from my experience, it's not even about what the activity you do with the distraction. It's more about the energy you give doing the distraction.
The game show host.
Okay, so when you say distractions, the only time I would tell parents to use them is if your child is tantruming and you are never, ever going to get through to them.
Okay.
Why get involved in this argument?
Yeah, yeah.
Just bring them somewhere else. And that's when I always suggest if they're
little. Let's go do suds in the sink.
Yeah, if they're little like this, you know, let's go, you know, put bubbles in the. Jared is laughing so much because I really don't like the cat. Yeah. And he's been so sleazy rubbing up against me. So
that's interesting. The cat, the distraction is really a last resort for if it's a case of, all right, this kid's off the reservation.
Yeah, and if that's the personality of the child, if you know that this kid, if you know, like as a teacher in a classroom, if you know the certain kid who you see it about to happen, get in with the distraction straight away.
Okay.
Or they're already in a tantrum, distract them. You can always talk about it later. But like, do you really have the energy for the fight? Some parents get lost in needing to be right. Yeah. Whereas actually, you just need to just survive this day and you're teaching your child something, but they're not calm. They're not in a receptive space right now. So bring them, do something else, have a laugh. And when they are calm, talk to them about how they behaved, how they talk to you, how you don't like that, what you want them to do the next time, and move on. And it with this age group particularly, it's really, really effective. But as an aid to her, what she needs to do is stop. First of all, be careful not to ask your child a question.
Right.
Will you put on your coat? Will you put on your shoes? Because the minute you ask them a question, you have to respect their answer.
So you go, you can either put on your coat or I'll put it on for you.
Well, I wouldn't go with that. But if you've made the mistake of saying put on your coat and you're in a bit of a cul-de-sac, then you can do that. But what I would do is offer choice. Choice is really important because you're controlling a choice and they get to feel like they made one.
Mm.
So you can be like,
I don't put on any coat.
Yeah.
But you hate when I do that, but like I'm just saying this is what she's facing into. Is like, you can either put on your red coat or your blue coat. I don't want to wear a coat.
Well then, if that happens, and I do hate when Jordan does that, you just stay really calm and you hold out the coats. And you say something like, I'm waiting for you to make your choice. And they might kick back again. That's fine. You just stay really calm. And you say, I'm waiting for you to make a choice. And then if the time is going on, you go, okay, mommy has offered you the opportunity to make a choice. Now I'm going to count to five. And if you have not made the choice, by the time I get to five, I'm making the choice for you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, blue coat, put the blue coat on.
Okay, so let me just ask, and I'm not trying to annoy you.
Yes, you are. You are.
You go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and on five, the kid snatches the red coat out of your hand. Do you go, do not snatch, or do you take the win?
If they snatch the coat, the opposite.
Snap it from your hand.
But the opposite colour that you chose.
No. They do what you asked, but on the final second, and they whip that coat out of your
hand. Yeah, just ignore that behaviour. And when they're wearing it and they're walking with you or they're in the pram and they've calmed down, say, I love that you made your own choice today. Thank you for putting on your coat.
So you reinforce the good behaviour and you ignore the bad.
Like, it sounds silly, but like really, just try and avoid fights you don't need in your life, you know. And also, the first few times you do that, there probably will be pushback. But when that kid realises that when you say, like if they don't just go with the choice, when you say, okay, I've given you a chance now to have a choice, I'm going to count to five, when they know you'll follow through, you will not have to do that so often. If your child thinks you won't follow through, the tantrums always get bigger.
And that was always the problem with me. He knew well. And they can smell a softie.
Yeah, they can. And they will push it because why not? They're exploring.
Are you a deal breaker? Are you a deal maker? Was the question Tina got asked. Are you a deal maker? Yeah. One kid asked her, are you a deal maker?
Yeah.
Which is like totally kids going, well, I believe it's possible to cut a deal with certain people. Are you one of
and
those
it is,
people?
It is amazing because, you know, you do your training, you work and work with kids for a million years. But really, what is the secret to getting kids to do what you tell them? If they know you'll follow through,
right,
then they're like, it's not worth the hassle. I really feel like this mom needs to offer choices. I really feel like this mom needs to get in with the distraction rather than have a tantrum with her kid.
Right.
And I also think this mom should be using Now and Next, because at this age,
they really need to know.
They don't feel safe in the unknown.
Yeah.
So they, like, you could do a visual schedule for her of the day, or you could just do simple things like, now we're eating our breakfast, and next we have to put our shoes on. You're putting your shoes on, next we're going to get our coat. We're going to the shops, then we're going to the park. They just need to know. It just, they really do. It'll just calm them, and they have, like, a little bit of a window into their day and they feel a little bit more calm.
I feel like in the three seasons of Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid, I've really got a crash course in this Montessori method and these techniques. And if this person is looking for material, and it is hard to go back and read stuff on this, have a deep dive into the series, because there's so many moms that have come to us with this exact problem, and dads, where it's like, my kid doesn't take me seriously and everything is an issue.
And like you said, those parents we came across in London, those parents are not being taken seriously because, unfortunately, they're working so much. They're not around enough.
Yeah.
So it's very, very hard. But with the Montessori approach, you know I'm a crazy Montessori person. I love it so much. It is so hard because any nuggets of wisdom you see on Instagram or beautiful, they're basically Montessori. Like, everyone has adapted it into their philosophy when it comes to children. And really, if you can find a good Montessori book and you've got time to read it, it will give you a window into your child. You will understand them more. And you can do Montessori, study the kid from 0 to 18. So the whole way up. And she, like, even these outdoor schools for teenagers that they're really only understanding now can help these off the rails teenagers. I mean, this was a philosophy she had and a theory she developed 100 years ago. It's unbelievable.
Let me ask you really quick before we move on to question number two, which is around eating. You say that this follow through is the key here.
Mm-hmm.
Now and next, letting them know what's coming, and
it's respecting them, really.
Respecting that will. Yeah. There's obviously two people involved, maybe three, if there's grandparents around or others or even a nanny. Do you all need to sit down and talk through what you're discussing here, Tina? Do they all need to go, well, look, here's how we're going to approach this and we all need to do it the same way? Because that's a tricky one too. Well,
that's an ideal world. That really is. But it'd be fabulous. But that is an ideal world because it's very hard to get other people, other
grown-ups.
Especially
grandparents, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, also, if you have a nanny, you know, she's going to
do it her way.
So. But I do think that if you are able to follow through with your child, like you mentioned there earlier, we had issues where Mikey would not take you seriously. But I had never had that. Ever. Mm. I said it, that was it, because he just knew. And it was so easy. And we got to see that he has it in him to push back and to make a deal and negotiate. But he never bothered because he just knew there's no point.
Yeah. Okay, well, I hope that's a help. And as I say, the full archive of Honey, You're Ruining Our Kids are available on Patreon, and that will be a collection that is there for forevermore.
Forever.
So your favorite food as a kid, Tina, has revealed. You're never going to guess. Take three swings at it right now. I would have said chips.
No.
I would have thought chocolate or sweets or some kind of junk. No.
Why? Why would you
potato
think?
Potato cakes.
Yes, potato cakes. Still my all-time
potato
fave.
Farls.
Yeah, potato cakes. I love them. And I don't know why.
And how often would you have potato cakes?
I don't know, but I always remember begging for them. Like, if there was an occasion.
Begging?
If there was any occasion, like, I remember from my Holy Communion, they were like, "What? And what meal do you want?" And I'd be like, potato cakes! And for my birthday, I'd be like, potato cakes.
But you're still mad for the potato cakes now in your 40s.
Yeah, I just made some this morning. I've had two potato cakes already today.
But Tina, just for you guys, we're going to talk about these fussy eaters here.
Okay.
You're the woman giving out the advice.
Yes, Charlotte.
Was the fussiest eater.
Still am.
Still is. Like,
that's why I'm trying to help people.
It's like, what, where will we go for dinner? And I just look at Tina, look, I'll eat anything. Why don't you just pick where we're going?
But that's a bit different at the moment because my brace makes it really
brace
hard.
Me, hold. She has braces right now, but I mean, literally, I haven't had an onion in 25 years.
I'm not the only person doing that.
She won't allow me onions.
I will. Onions are gross.
Onions are a central part of some of the most delicious foods in the world.
No, they ruin. They're a food ruiner. They ruin everything.
Well, I think it's hilarious that she's going to dole out some really solid advice here again on somebody with a pussy eating kid.
But I never got away with not eating my dinners. I mean, that's why I'm always trying to help these kids, because I just, you know, I didn't want to eat the food I was being given, but I had to.
I think you were, when we consider your TikTok ADHD diagnosis, which she's just given herself this week.
I change my mind every few minutes about this.
I think it was a control issue.
Absolutely not. Feck off, Charlotte Regan.
I will tell all of these people on this podcast that your kids want to control things, but not me. I was just a kid.
No,
who
I
had
know
ideas.
What it, I know what it was. I didn't like textures, and I know that that is now. That is a
dead giveaway.
A sensory thing. Dead giveaway. I didn't like the textures or look of food and the colours and stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
That makes perfect
sense.
We're
eating a lot of liver. Why?
Liver helps us play.
Why?
Tina and Charlotte, I need your help. How to get my 5-year-old to try more foods. Mm. So am I right off the gate here that this person does have a kid that eats, but they're not adventurous? I mean, that's really common. So I'm so glad we're doing this.
Yeah. I feel like their kid will eat, but they're just not trying.
Because your guide throughout this is a woman who has a kid would only eat. What would you only eat, Tina?
Banana sandwiches.
When out of the house, banana sandwiches.
Or tomato sauce sandwiches.
Tomato sauce sandwiches. So don't feel bad. This is a woman who has grown to the size that she is now. The height that she is. Jesus, Jer, watch it. I'm in need of advice. I've got two stepdaughters, a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. To start with, the 3-year-old would eat just about anything. She's no problem eating, even spicy foods. Sweet foods, not a problem. We've been trying to get the 5-year-old to try new foods lately as she's soon to start school. But she absolutely refuses, screaming, throwing a tantrum before even considering tasting it. Would you ever do that?
No.
It was just, don't even bother.
Oh no, but that's what I mean. I always had to eat it.
Oh, so you had to eat it.
Yeah, I knew there was
no
way.
But you had a preference, right.
But inside,
but this kid
was
is
just
fully
miserable.
Throwing the protest. She's unlike any other kid I've seen, this listener says. She only eats sweets, cereals, Pop-Tarts, waffles, pancakes. She's Leslie Knope from Parks and Recreation. She eats eggs or bacon and tortilla for breakfast, and she only eats chicken nuggets with mac and cheese or cheesy bread from Little Caesars for dinner.
These are all my favorite foods too.
American listener here. She used to eat mashed potatoes, but now refuses to eat that. She has never tried pizza. Oh my God, welcome to Flavortown. My mouth is watering at the thought of pizza right now. It's only 10:30 in the morning. When we tell her it's essentially the same thing as cheesy bread, but better, again, the tantrum, until she gets her cheesy bread. Lord, this is tough, Tina. I don't know how you're going to deal with this. And this morning, kind of took a turn for the worst when she refused to eat breakfast, her breakfast taco. It had the exact same things that she eats in it every day, eggs, bacon, cheese on a tortilla, but again, screaming and throwing things before she even tried it. Hours later, She did, just to say it's tasty, she wouldn't even swallow it. So super stubborn here on this, right? So it's controlling stuff, right?
Yeah, and also maybe there's some more going on here for this little girl. Like, this is very, seems very attention-based.
She says she casually eats 2 bowls of cereal in the morning or 2 eggs with bacon and pancakes with a clean plate at the end. I guess I'm just wondering how we get her to try new things before just putting whatever food on her plate and saying, eat it and go to bed. She says, as a final note, obviously she eats lots of little snacks throughout the day as well. I'm talking about real meals here.
Yeah,
so that's an interesting little note at the end there, because, my father was always like, if he's hungry, he'd eat it.
Yeah, well,
so maybe the snacks are impacting the
appetite. I never even thought of that, but I guess because I would be quite sympathetic to this little girl, knowing that I also was a bit troublesome as a child. I do find this email a bit troubling because she is eating. I mean, how many parents out there are dealing with actual food refusal? But the issue here seems to be she's not trying as much foods as we want. So really let me finish. The issue is...
I'm gonna let you finish.
Yeah, but like the issue seems to be that parent isn't getting to eat the foods they want at dinner.
I disagree.
Because they're having to cater to the kid.
This parent is saying, very soon, you're going to be going to school where you are going to need to be trying and available to try new foods.
Why does she think that? Because that is just not true.
Maybe there
is a teacher in a school
canteen.
Yeah, but the food couldn't be plainer. Like, they know who they're dealing with.
Okay,
it's very boring food.
Well, Tina, I don't know. Like, I'm willing to not take sides here, but I'm willing to give this parent the benefit of the doubt in that I think you were failed on this, and that...
That's a bit much.
Yeah, no,
but I wasn't failed because I did eat the food.
Tina, you're in your 40s now, and you're not willing to try new foods.
Like what?
Come on.
I eat everywhere. What are you talking about?
There's certain foods
I don't like onions.
And the vast majority of the things on the menu you will not try in your 40s.
No, I prefer to see it as there's stuff on the menu I don't want to eat. There's stuff on the menu I do want to eat. And I just choose to eat them. Why would I try something I might not like?
We're just watching the grown-up version of this kid who now has a podcast. Why would I try it? This is that kid's thought.
I waste my money
But
on
this
that.
Is the kid's thought. It's like, Mom, why would I try it when I know I'm not going to like it? That's you as an adult.
No, as an adult, I know I definitely don't like onions. And unfortunately, they're in fucking everything.
But Tina, you have to take this on the chin.
I will not.
You don't try new foods.
Like what? What are you talking about? I eat all kinds of foods.
I'm willing to go to a new country and see what's on the menu and be like, well, this is what they eat here. This is the cuisine. I'll
and
try
I'm
this.
Always grateful they have
and
a European
you're like
option.
Picking. This is a woman who I said I'd love for us to someday visit China.
Oh, Charlotte!
She said, but will they have Chinese food?
I didn't. I said will they have a tree in one?
I said, all the food in China is Chinese food because it is Chinese. She wanted to know what they do, like prawn crackers.
And a tree in one with cashew nuts.
Cashew nuts, curry chips.
All my faves.
Like, this mother is raising a concern, and maybe I think might be a bit too concerned all at once about it.
Yeah.
And that the process of getting your kid to be adventurous and willing to try stuff,
yeah,
I think kind of grows with their world view.
Absolutely. And also, look, okay, yeah, I'm not the best eater, and I definitely wasn't when I was a kid, but I have, from working with children and knowing kids, Charlotte Regan, stuff rolling your eyes. I know what works. And every time we've given this advice, it's worked. First of all, get the kid involved in the cooking. That's a very natural way for kids to explore foods.
Very good.
When they go to school, now, way more than ever, they learn about all different countries in the world and they explore the different foods of the world. That happens in early years now and it's fabulous. And you will see kids watching to see if their friend tries it and then trying it after them and enjoying these new textures and stuff. All things that weren't available for us when we were kids. It was very plain. We grew up in 80s Ireland, you know?
Yeah.
Also, we know, tried and tested, worked for us. And I think there was a time when our kid was even fussier than I ever was as a child. Tina's Tacos, the Charlotte has named, and now I say...
Tapas.
I'm an idiot. Sorry, Tina's Tapas really do work. And with a child like this, they really will work. Because, unfortunately, you've planted a seed now. This mom has made... it that her child is deciding not to try new foods because gets your attention or, you know, just a bit of a fuss. And for whatever reason, kids actually enjoy the bit
attention.
Of a fuss.
Weird.
But the tapas will work for this parent because if you want to introduce new foods, very simple, plate up the dinner in bowls. Leave empty plates in front of your kids. We don't want to put pressure on food when it comes to children. If that child is eating enough food so they're healthy, that should be where we're happy. But also, I get it, they need to try new things. So a really easy way to do that is, so if you're making, I don't know, a pasta dish, put the chicken in one bowl, the pasta in another bowl, put the pasta with the sauce in another bowl, put the veg in another bowl, put the bread out, and always, always, no matter what, make sure there's something in one of those bowls that the kid will definitely eat. Pop some big serving spoons in there and just sit down to dinner and allow people to explore without you putting pressure on them. It might not happen the first few times, but slowly and surely, when they see the process of other people taking from the bowls and putting onto their plates, they will be more likely to give things a go because there's no pressure. It's open. It's freedom of choice.
It takes away the dialogue.
And you're bringing an atmosphere of exploration into dinner rather than eat your dinner and get out of here, you know?
And we've seen it work time and time again.
We really
emails
have.
That
this
come in on
really
this,
does work.
This is, you know, it sounds like, and it would seem that a lot of people will have the intuition, oh, well, they'll just eat the only bowl.
They will if they you make will. A big deal out of it. What you have to do is not make a deal out of it at all. Make it just a fun activity. Now,
you praise the other kid that is trying from the bowls? You don't comment on anyone's
eating.
And
it seems like they're already doing that. They're comparing them really quickly. Yeah. But also, you'll phase this out. Eventually, you will be able to put whatever you're having for dinner on the plate in front of them. But for a little while, there's going to be a little bit more work at dinner time, a little bit more plating up, but it does work.
It
really works.
Okay, well, good luck to this parent with this. We'd love to hear back from you. I know that we always try and give you kind of closure on some of the stories. I don't know, do we have any of those this week, Tina, in the Patreon section?
Yeah, we have a few people who've gone back to us.
Okay,
I haven't got them in the notes here today, but I'm sure I can remember them.
Well, come on over to Patreon to hear the rest of our show and our third question this week. What's it about? It's a teen question.
Yeah, it is a teenager question. And also, before we go, though, shouldn't we talk about what we were saying?
Yeah, well, look, I'm in the middle of probably the craziest work period of my life. I'm really concerned about my health, and so is my doctor. So I have to pare back on certain things, and Honey, You're Ruining Our Kid will take a small break while I finish one or two projects like this book that I'm writing at the moment. And with that, it will return as soon as we can.
And
we're talking a couple of months time.
And we're talking the episodes because the emails will stay open. If you need me, I'm there for you. I always will come back to you with a plan. I'm very happy to keep the emails going. And the minute we can come back, we'll be back. But Jarla didn't want to do this, but as his wife, he's just juggling too many, he's spinning too many plates. And I feel like this is one of the ones where we can pause for a little while
and
come back.
I know
back.
You guys will understand that. And we'll come back with a vengeance with all of your with all of your emails.
And thank you for your support.
Yeah,
and like
thanks.
Jarla
thanks
said,
a
there's a lot of
for
episodes
coming out
there.
To see the show. we're extending the tour. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
So something's got to give. The tour is extending, and this is an exclusive for you today. We're announcing shows in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming to Melbourne, Sydney, Perth, Brisbane, and we're going to New Zealand to do Auckland. We're adding two shows in Chicago, a show in Wexford in the Spiegel Tent on October 16th, Portaferry, Mullingar, Newbridge, Thurles, Dunleary and Blanchardstown have just been added, because more or less everything is gone on the tour, except for some tickets in San Francisco, Toronto, Portland and Boston. But it's been wild. It's been a wild, wild year, and we really appreciate the support. Yeah. And hopefully we will see you at a show in the coming months. Thanks again, and catch the rest of this episode over on Patreon.